This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Well, hello, this is Kevin Harris, and you're listening to The Invisible War. The Invisible War radio program is a Bible study into the supernatural with an emphasis on spiritual warfare. Do you know what the Bible says about spiritual warfare? Do you know what spiritual warfare is? Fortunately for us, our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall, is an expert in this area, and I want to welcome him once again. Rob, good to have you in the studio.
Kevin, good to see you today, and I want all who are listening to the Invisible War program to know how grateful I am you have tuned in today.
Dr. Randall, boy, did we step on a hornet's nest last time. We're talking about Christians and demons, whether Christians can be possessed by demons or have demons. So before we continue our study, let's backtrack just a little bit and once again reiterate your teaching on this, what the Bible teaches about Christians and demons. You seem to be making a distinction between possession by demons and influence from demons.
You know, we are so quickly diverted to our places of so-called comfortable conclusions. We just don't study the Word of God. And we must go to the Word. A dear counselor friend that I have great respect for in this area, I told him, I said, why is it so many folks are confused about this? And he simply says, they haven't studied the Bible. They've assumed what they have been told is correct without studying the Word of God. Now, this series is The Lies That Can Kill. And I can't think of a more dangerous lie than Christians can't have demons. You see, what that lie does is it protects the demons, but it doesn't protect the Christian. It leaves the Christian vulnerable to the work of demons in their lives. Now, I want to hurry to say Christians can't be possessed. Let's get over that. We are possessed. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are His personal possession. The Bible's clear about that. So the issue is not possession in terms of ownership. The issue is, can a Christian have demons? Let's quit worrying about whether they're inside or outside. The fact is, if there is stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, according to Jesus, the enemy's at work in your life. I want you to know, I want everyone to understand, Christians can have demons. There can be an attachment. And wherever they are, they need to be gone. The Lord Jesus' purpose for your life as a believer is to be free from the demonic working, that you and I might be able to be all that He has in His heart for us to be as we walk in the kingdom of Almighty God.
And again, Dr. Randall, so many Christians will ask, how can a believer have a demon if the Holy Spirit dwells within them?
Now, I've dedicated a whole chapter in the Invisible War book on this subject, and I would encourage everyone to get your copy, to do the study in depth, or go to the website and download the programs that teach this subject in depth, as we will continue to do that today. There's no good substitute for the study of God's Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, the idea that Holy Spirit and demons cannot somehow coexist is simply not biblical. It's logical, but it's not biblical. The fact is, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. So they have to coexist by the understanding of God's power and His presence. They're coexisting all the time. So the idea that somehow they can't do that. Now, I will say this. If a Christian has an assignment of demons, there'll be a war. There won't be any peace. There'll be torment. There'll be a lack of rest. Until it's taken care of, there will be a war going on. And I want to encourage everyone, get over the idea of where they are and admit to the fruit of their destruction. If the fruit, the rotten fruit, is there in your life, things that you can't control, that is killing, stealing, and destroying your marriage, your life, your witness for Christ, the enemy is at work. And if the enemy is at work, that means he's there.
And again, Dr. Randall, so many people say, well, the devil or the demons didn't have anything to do with it. It was me. It was my own temptation. What does the Bible say about that?
I want everyone to turn with me to the book of James, the first chapter, and the 13th verse and following. That's James chapter 1, verse 13. Follow along as I read the Word of God. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Here we have where the Bible teaches there is a process, a progression that leads us into sin. And this sin leads us to death. And you have heard me say on the program over and over, sin is the avenue. Sin is the highway demons travel. Let's look more closely to this passage together. What is this deadly progression of sin? First of all, we have the temptation. Now, we know from the study of the encounter Jesus had with the enemy in the wilderness that the devil, Satan himself, is called the tempter. What is temptation? It's the thought of evil. Where do these evil thoughts come from? All evil comes from the heart and mind of Satan. He is the evil one. He has three things to work with. The world, he's the god of this world. Our flesh, in and of the flesh, there is no good thing. And the devil, one-third of all the angels that joined him in the coup d'etat in the heavens, we know them as demons. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. 1 John 1:16. The second step in the progression of sin is carried away. We are drawn away, lured from safety. Now, what's behind this lure? What is behind the logic of luring a Christian or drawing a Christian away from safety? And number three, we are enticed. We're caught by bait. Those of you that are fishermen understand what it is to have the right bait, the right color, at the right time, and you're able to catch more fish. We're carried away. We're tempted by the thought of evil. We're carried away, drawn away, lured from safety, and we're caught by bait, enticed, the Bible says. And then our lust comes in, craving what the thought represents, our self over others, our self over God. I want what I want. I don't want what God wants. I don't want to do His will. The craving of what the evil thought represents is our lust. And number five, lust then is conceived. Yielding of the will, that's where sin is birthed. And then, of course, sin. The act is committed. And once, Kevin, we commit the sin, we disobey God, we own it. It's ours. We're responsible. We're accountable. And then, of course, when sin has its ultimate goal, it brings forth, number seven, death. The evil in the heart of Satan has had his way. Please hear me. The Bible clearly teaches today that behind the temptations are the tempters. Behind the luring from safety are the tempters. It's not God. God doesn't tempt anyone. It's evil. Well, who is the evil one? All evil comes from the heart and mind of Satan. I know that we are evil. Our hearts are desperately wicked, and who can know it? I know that, but our hearts are not anything like Satan. I mean, none of us would ever do those evil things that many of us have seen and done, except somebody's helping us do it. I'm telling you, the enemy is at work, and his ultimate goal is murder. His ultimate goal, as Jesus said, he is a murderer from the beginning. His ultimate purpose for you is for your life to end. Please hear me today. A Christian can be affected and influenced. A Christian can have demons. You see, if Satan can influence us to sin and we cooperate with him, then his plan of destroying us will be accomplished. You know, Kevin, we simply don't seem to recognize how serious sin really is. Let's look at what the Bible says about the plan of sin. The plan of sin, first of all, is to rule. Did you know that? Sin's not just a bad habit, or just a bad day, or having trouble, or hindrances. Sin's purpose in your life is to rule your life. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. Now that's the Apostle Paul speaking. Romans 6:12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Now, that's what Jesus said. Have you ever sinned? It is possible for you to become a slave to that sin. That means you're not free. If you're in bondage, you're not free. And Jesus came to set us free. The second purpose of sin is not only to rule, but to ruin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1, verse 14 through 15, remember, when sin is conceived, it brings forth trouble? No, it brings forth death. So behind every temptation, behind every thought that would lead us to disobey God's word, there are very powerful spirits that are vigilant, ever working and watching to see if there is just a crack. Just a small window of opportunity to invade and to build their strongholds for the purpose of taking us out. Please hear the study of God's Word today. Every warning in the New Testament concerning the dangers of the work of Satan has been given to the church. Listen to the Word of God with me today. The warnings of the New Testament given to the church. Paul cautions against the potential demonization of bishop, elders, and pastors in 1 Timothy 3:6 through 7, Bible teachers, preachers, and prophets, 2 Corinthians 11:3 through 4, 13 and 15, 1 Timothy 1:19 through 20 with 2 Timothy 2:14 through 26, 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 John 4:1 through 4. There is the enigma of demonized deaconesses, 1 Timothy 5:9 through 15, and the danger of demonized gifted Christian leaders and miracle workers in 1 John 4:1 through 4 with Matthew 7, verse 13 through 29, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 17, and Revelation 13. The two wisdoms available to every believer is also a biblical example of how Christians can have demons. Listen carefully. Bitter, jealous, selfish, ambitious, arrogant, lying, and cursing believers who receive this unholy wisdom that can become demonized. James 3, verse 9 through 15. Notice Paul's concern of his new converts receiving, as he puts it, another spirit. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Never give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. The warning to Christians about the danger of giving an area of their lives knowingly or unknowingly over to the occupancy of Satan. In the study of the armor of God, there's a warning that is clearly implied that a Christian without the Lord's armor can be penetrated by Satan, Ephesians 6:10 through 18. And in the passage that warns the Christian of the danger of Satan as a roaring lion, it is also implied that the believer can be destroyed or gobbled up by his adversary, Satan, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. To ignore the enemy of our souls and to continue to believe his lies that when we are saved, we are automatically safe, is to give Satan a distinct advantage in this battle of life and death. To believe the lie that Christians can't have demons, it can get you killed. Yes, demons are real. The believer is targeted for their destruction, and Christians can fall into their deceptions that can lead ultimately to death.
Dr. Randall, I'm anticipating a question here. Because we as Christians can have a demon or be so influenced by demons, what does this mean in terms of our salvation? Does this mean that the demons can take away our salvation or that we can somehow lose it?
The Bible is very, very plain that what the Lord has done in this wonderful inheritance we call salvation, it is forever kept in heaven by the power of God. No one, Jesus said, no one will ever be able to pluck the ones that the Father has given to him out of the hand of God. I want you to know, folks, the issue of your heavenly home, the salvation of your soul, is not at issue. If you are saved, it is sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But you hear me. Because you are a Christian, you are the most important to Satan to kill. It is you he wants to destroy. It is your children. It is your family. It is your witness that he wants to destroy. Oh, hear me today. Don't try to hide comfortably behind Satan's lie that Christians can't have demons. All it will do is protect the demons and get you killed.
Dr. Randall, I know that there are those listening right now who are not certain whether they have this free gift that Jesus offers, this gift of what the Bible calls salvation from the devil and from demons. Would you pray for those who are listening today who have not made that decision?
Dear friend, I want you to know that God loves you more than anyone could ever love you. You say, I'm not sure I believe that. Look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. It is Jesus that shed his blood for you at Calvary for the forgiveness of your sin. Would you receive it today? It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough. How much money would have to be given to be enough money to get you to heaven? How silly that is. How many good works would you have to do? How many poor folks would you have to feed to be enough to get you to heaven? No, no, no. It's a gift. It's a gift. Would you receive it? Would you allow me to pray with you right now? Words are not magic. God knows our hearts. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? Holy Spirit of God, would you just come now and help us? Help us. Help my friend. Lord, help him turn his heart toward you. Lord, you've told us that God resists the proud, but he gives his gifts, his grace, to the humble. So help us humble ourselves in this moment. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you loved me because you gave your life for me. You died for me. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Welcome to the family of God. would you contact me, email me, go to the website. There's a way. I will personally receive your emails. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. Let me know of your decision today. And those of you that are believers, and you know that you have become a slave to sin, you know you're not free. I meet folks like that all the time who are born again, who have been born of the Spirit, but they're in bondage. Jesus came to set you free. It was for freedom Christ came to set us free. He came to destroy the works of the devil in your life. Would you turn to him today? Would you do it? Pray this prayer with me. Just follow along as I pray this prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus and for my salvation through him. He is the Savior, and I am the sinner. I am so grateful to be washed in his blood. And because you have forgiven me, I choose to forgive others. Everyone who has hurt me, lied to me, or disappointed me, I forgive. I repent of unforgiveness. I know it is sin. I forgive myself and apply your great forgiveness to my life. I repent of anger, of bitterness and hatred, of rebellion, resentment, and revenge, of envy, jealousy, and strife, of doubt, unbelief, and skepticism, of lust, witchcraft, and idolatry, and all the works of the flesh. I denounce the sins of my ancestors. I totally separate myself from all generational curses. I renounce all unholy vows, pledges, oaths, or ceremonies, and I choose to be free from all permission of secret society's curses. I denounce all unholy soul ties and confess them as sin. For Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is my deliverer and my healer. And he broke the power of all curses. I choose to be free, and I will be free. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, Lord, I ask you to seal this prayer time now with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for my friend. I ask you to bless them today. Answer every prayer. Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do the greatest work for your greatest glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed with me today, please let me know. I want to hear from you. Email me through the website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Or call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. I look forward to hearing from you. Please let me hear from you today. I will receive your calls and your emails personally. I look forward to hearing from you today.
Dr. Randall, thank you so much. And thank you for listening today. If you know of those who need help and encouragement through this Bible study by Dr. Rob Randall, it just may be through your caring contact by inviting them to listen to the Invisible War Radio Ministry that God will use this study in their lives and set them free. So we want to encourage you to do that. If you've missed any program of the Invisible War, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button, and every program is available right there for you to download free. Once again, that's at theinvisiblewar.org. And I want to remind everyone today who's listening to The Invisible War, it is through your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you and to many hurting and wounded among us. If you've been blessed by this program, would you give as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give? You can make your investment into this ministry by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free at 877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. And if you don't have access to a computer, you can send your letters in support to Rob Randall Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. That's P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 877-750-7070. We look forward to hearing from you. Do it today.
Thank you for listening. And remember, it was for freedom he came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week right here as we study the Word of God together on the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.